Well, good morning, everyone. I'm going to tell you, I love it whenever we can pray for the kids. I absolutely love that. Kids camp and camp in general is kind of one of my favorite things. If you know me at all, you know that I have been at camp. Actually, my wife and I have been at camp for the past 15 years straight. And this is actually our first year not at camp. And so it's kind of a shock. In fact, we're not even abiding by those rules. We were there twice this last week, so we'll be there in 2 days again. So I want to take just a moment. I want to pray for us, and then I'll introduce myself, and we'll hop in. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much. What a beautiful church. What a beautiful time in your presence. I pray this morning that each and every one of us, myself included, that we are ready to encounter you through your word this morning. Lord, that we're ready to answer hard questions, that we're ready to see what it is that where you're leading and guiding us. And I thank you for the family that is here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, as Wally said, my name is Colton Coffey. You can call me whatever you want. You can call me Mr. Coffey. You can call me Pastor Coffey. You can call me Colton. You can say, hey, dude, that's fine with me as well. And I have actually been to Victory Life Church my entire life, and that's not even hyperbole. I mean, I was literally born the next Sunday. My parents went from Hugo, the huge big town of Hugo. And so anyway, we were there. And so I've legitimately raised in Victory Life Church. And so I've been to Victory Life my entire life. And believe it or not, this is indeed my first time at this location. But this is the last location on my checklist. So I can been to all of them now. And I'm excited about that. And I was the youth pastor at our Durant campus for almost 8 years. And just recently, this last year, stepped down from doing that and handed it to he was my assistant pastor there in Durant. His name is Pastor Connor. And since then, I have had a different title, a title that I don't even know what it is. But basically what I do is I travel to a lot of the different Victory Life campuses and I help out wherever is needed. Most of the time, you know, if a pastor is sick, or going through something, or there's just a change, or whatever the case is, I go. And so I've spent a lot of time at a lot of our different campuses and just traveling and things like that. And it's been great. And I've absolutely loved it. And for the past 3 or 4 months or so, been pretty heavily back in Durant. I don't know if you know Pastor Jacob. He is one busy guy. And Pastor Jacob is always traveling, different things like that. And so I've been speaking a lot on our Wednesday nights over there in Durant. And so this morning, I'm truly honored that I get to be here with you guys this morning in Stillwater. Beautiful people you guys are, beautiful people. And so I'm excited to be here this morning. And so way more important than myself, we're gonna be talking about the word, okay? We're gonna be talking about the word this morning. And let me just apologize. You guys probably don't care at all, but I care. And yesterday, just to introduce my wife to you for just a moment, my wife is amazing. This is Faith. Everybody say hello, Faith. She does not like being in the spotlight, but my wife is super prepared and organized, and I mean, like, I'm telling you, if you would see, we stayed here last night, and if you would see our suitcase, it's in packing cubes. I don't know if you guys know what those are, by like, you know, every, it's just, it's really organized. And she asked me yesterday, she was like, hey, can you pack your clothes and your toiletry stuff? So I was like, yeah, absolutely. And me, in doing that, I forgot my nice shirt. I forgot my jacket. I forgot my nice shoes. And yet last night, she was like, Colton, did you pack this, this, or this? I was like, nope, Stillwater is about to get me in my casual clothes. That's what they're about to do. And so this is it, because we're family. We are family. Well, this morning, what I want to talk to you guys about, if you're a title, if you're a note taker and you like titles, the title of today is, Are You Satisfied? I'm a title person. I like to have titles because it helps me remember them in the future. And that question is not meant to sound like, I hope you're satisfied, or, you know, are you satisfied now? But more so, has anybody ever craved a good hamburger? Like, you're just like really craving a burger, and we got some burger lovers, and craved a good burger, and the sad news is the only thing around is a McDonald's. Now, here's the thing, and that's not a knock at McDonald's, okay? I don't really love McDonald's, that would be a lie. But here's the thing, if you've ever craved a good burger, but the only thing around is only a McDonald's, you might get the burger, and the burger's probably gonna be good, but it doesn't quite satisfy. Or if you've ever craved a good steak, and there's no place around that serves a steak, the only place around that is a salad bar. The salad bar is good. It's good for you. Maybe it tastes good, but it just doesn't quite satisfy that craving that you have. And that's what I mean whenever I ask the question is, are you satisfied? And just in prayer over the past few weeks, knowing that I was going to be traveling to a couple of our different locations, I actually think this is the fourth campus I've been to in the past month, maybe third or fourth, and just the Lord will typically put something on my heart as I go and travel, and this was the word that the Lord put on my heart, and I've just been so honored to see the Lord move in people's hearts whenever I ask them this question, because I think sometimes we don't realize that as humans, we all have this deep longing to be satisfied in some way. I'm not necessarily talking about food, right? But so many times in our lives, we are seeking after something, thinking that it will truly satisfy us. Maybe that's a new job. Maybe that's a new title. Maybe that's a new experience. Maybe that is something to do with our family or with our friends. Maybe it's an object or something like that. Maybe it's entertainment. And we think that once we have this thing, we will be satisfied. And so often when we take a look at the world, we see that people long for these things and try to strive for these things, and every time will come up empty, unless, of course, what they are longing for is to be with King Jesus. And so Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says this, "Blessed are those who hunger and who thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." This is on the Sermon on the Mount, one of the Beatitudes, and this is a promise. The Lord says that you will be satisfied if you hunger and you thirst after righteousness. And I think every human heart in longing for these things and other things will come up empty. But truly, whenever we go to Jesus, he's offering something completely different than what the world has to offer. So I guess the question is then, what is his righteousness? What is righteousness? To make it really simple, to make it really short, and we're going to explain this a little bit later, that's hungering for God's way, hungering for his presence, hungering for the kingdom, okay? Hungering for the kingdom. So in so doing, in hungering for God's way, in hungering for his presence, in hungering for the kingdom, you will be satisfied. So if you've never heard me preach, and I've never been here, so you probably haven't, if you need to know this about me. I love to tell stories. If I'm ever hanging out with friends, people look at me to be the guy that fills the silence, okay? The guy that tells the stories. And so I got a story for you this morning. And so when my wife and I, we had just got married. This was years ago. We had just got married, and Christmas time was coming around. And I don't know how you guys do Christmas, but the way that our families do Christmas is there's a lot of us, okay? And so we draw names, like we pick names, and we buy for that person. That way we're not buying gifts for, like, you know, a ton of people. So Christmas, this was actually our first Christmas together. Christmas was coming around, and my family, my side of the family, decided we're going to draw names for Christmas. And I got my mom's name, and my dad got my name. So that means I was buying for my mom, my dad was buying for me. And my mom calls me one day, and she's asking me some questions about Christmas and other things. And, you know, she's telling me the rules for Christmas, okay? I don't know if your family has rules for Christmas. We have rules for Christmas, okay? The first one is we like to be surprised, okay? So, you know, I may want X, Y, and Z, but I don't, like, the way that our family is I don't just tell them, hey, I want X, Y, and Z, because they want it to actually, like, be a surprise whenever I get the gift. Like, oh, it was really well thought out and things like that. And also, we have a budget. Okay, and we have a budget of around $50, and when I say around, I mean don't go over, I mean you can go a little under, but no one's going to be sad on my side of the family if you spend $30 instead of $50. No one's going to be upset, we're going to be thankful, it's no big deal, but they will be upset if you spend like $100 when the budget was $50. We call that Michael Scotting it, if you've ever watched The Office. Anyway, and so we don't do that, we don't Michael Scott it, we don't do that, and so anyway, my mom calls me and says, Colton, your dad has your name for Christmas. What are some ideas? Like just some ideas for him so that he can get you something. And I said, well, Mom, there's this pretty sweet video game that's out. And I would love this video game. You know, I love this video game. And she says, son. Now, if you're here and you're a son, you've probably heard that. That is what's called the sigh of disapproval. The sigh of disappointment. She said, son, how old are you? And I said, Mom, I think at the time I was 21, maybe, yeah, 21, about to be 22. And I said, Mom, I'm 21. I got it. I got it. And are you married? Yes, Mom, I just got married. How's marriage going? I was like, marriage is going great. She said, well, do you want it to keep going great? Because you know what's, you know what's not going to help is a video game. A video game is not going to help. And I was like, well, and I would say that in my Christ-like maturity that I was like, Mom, you're right. That's not what I did. I said, Mom, well, I forgot that, you know, I didn't ask for your opinion. You asked for mine. And yeah, I know. I'm surprised lightning did not strike right then and there. And she said, son, I'm going to tell your dad that you want this video game. And I'm just telling you right now, he is not going to want to get you this video game. And I couldn't fathom that. I was like, does my dad not know? Does my mom not get this, that this is the desire of my heart? I want a video game. Like, I don't get this. Anyway, we hung up the phone and, you know, a couple days goes by. And when we first got married, my wife and I lived in a tiny home. And we had a really small bathroom. And she was like, hey, Colton, I'd like some more space in our bathroom. I bought these shelves. Can you hang some shelves in our bathroom? We need some more space for the towels. And I'm like, yeah, I'm married. I'm a man. Of course I can hang these shelves. And so she got these shelves. And I go to try to find a toolbox that I had since I was 7 years old. And I go and I find this toolbox. And it's about this big. And I opened it up. And there's a rusted hammer, a rusted screwdriver, and there's a drill. Now, the drill was a hand drill, and this wasn't like some lithium ion battery hand drill. This was like a, I don't even know what you call it. It used AAA batteries, and it was like, it was corroded. Like, it had stuff growing where the batteries are supposed to go. And I realized, I don't think I can hang these shelves. But then I had this light bulb moment. I can ask my dad for a drill. Maybe then my mom will like give me a different sigh, right? Like maybe she'll be excited. And so I asked Faith, Faith, is it okay if I wait till after Christmas to hang these shelves? I'm gonna ask my dad for a drill. She said, that's fine. So I called my mom back. I said, Mom, forget the video game. Forget the video game. I got an idea. I would like a hand drill. Faith wants me to hang these shelves and I don't have one. I could go buy one right now. I got it, but maybe this will work. Maybe this is more up your lane of what you're wanting to get me for Christmas. And she goes, son, that's more like it. I was like, okay, the sigh of approval. Yes, okay. And so I was like, and I said, Mom, here's what I want. I just need a little hand drill. I'm literally just hanging some shelves. I don't need anything extravagant. Just need to hang a drill, or hang some shelves. And she said, okay, that's fine. I'll throw those ideas at your father, and we'll see you at Christmas. And I said, okay, sounds good. Christmas comes around and everyone's exchanging gifts. You know, I got my mom, you know, practical things. I think she wanted a candle. So I got her like two small candles or something. Probably spent, I don't know what candles are worth. Probably like 20, 30 bucks. That's probably not what I spent. I probably like $10. Anyway, I bought her these candles and I was like, here you go, Mom. And she's super appreciative and super happy. And my sister was there. She got her gifts. My wife got her gifts. And like everyone's excited. And I realize I don't see the box for me. Like I don't see a gift for me. So I'm kind of looking around. And then I also don't see my dad. And I remember seeing my dad walking through the room and he had this box that was like a big box. And I was like, oh, is this gift for me? And he gets it and he sets it in front of me and he is just grinning from ear to ear. And I'm like, okay, this is going to be fun. And so I start opening it up and I realize like there is a huge tool bag in here. And I'm like, oh, he thought I was going to build the shelves. Like he didn't think I was just hanging some shelves. And I start opening it up and I pull out not just one drill, like a normal drill. Then I got one of those. I was like, this is great. This is a nice, awesome drill. I set that down. Then I pull out like this nice impact driver. And I was like, I didn't even know this was a thing. This is awesome. And so I sat it down. Then I pull out a circular saw. And I was like, it wasn't even on my list. Then I pull out a Sawzall. And I was like, oh, great. Well, then in the bottom of the bag, there is different boxes of drill bits and different sets. There's different rechargeable batteries in there. Then there's like a little note of like, hey, you started your tool collection. Now, if you want more, you can go here and get these tools and here's this much money off and all this stuff. And I was thinking, one, my dad, Michael Scotted this, okay? he spent way more. And for me, I was happy when it happened to me, right? Like, okay, he spent a lot. You know, I'm the favorite. And I was like looking around. I was like, well, he spent way more than $50. And man, I'm telling you, I got so excited and my father was just so excited. So we just sat there and we talked for a little bit. And I'm telling you, he was just like grinning from ear to ear. And I remember just, it was just incredible. We were having a good time. The next day we went to my wife's side of the family. And I'm telling one of my brother-in-laws this story about like everything I just told you. I told him the same story and he starts laughing really hard. I was like, why are you laughing? He goes, dude, my father has done the exact same thing. And he said, one time my dad was really into fishing. He was really into fishing. And I like wasn't that interested, but my dad was really interested in it. So I kind of got interested in it. And then he booked me like a fishing trip. He got me a new pole, a new, like, new rod, new reel, like all these different things. And I was like, that's hilarious. And what's funny is, you know, even looking at the crowd, I see you guys nodding because you guys know what I'm talking about. If you're a parent in here or a grandparent, you know that if your kid comes up to you and they're like interested in something that you're interested in, you are more than happy to start sharing advice and things. You know, in the Christian world, we say bless them, but the world would say spoil them in whatever the thing is, if it's a hobby or whatever it is. And I remember I'm talking to my brother-in-law. And we're having this discussion, and he starts laughing. And he looks at me, and he says, I wrote this quote down all these years ago because I just thought it was beautiful. He said, isn't it crazy that when our desires align with what matters to our Father, we get blessed beyond what we expected? And I said, you get it, right? And My brother-in-law is also a pastor, and he said that. And he was like laughing and joking, and he said that, and we both paused. We looked at each other and we said, that'll preach at the exact same time. And surely enough, I tell you this, isn't it crazy what happens when our desires align with our Father in heaven's desires? Because the result of that is blessing. And I wanna make sure I clarify in what I mean by our desires aligning with our Father's. And so Psalms chapter 37, verses 3-6 says this, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. I think this passage, I've been a pastor for coming up on a decade now, and I think for me personally, this is one of the most misquoted verses I've heard personally. Because a lot of times when I hear this quoted, they'll say the same thing I said to my mom on the phone the first time, which is, don't you understand that this is the desires of my heart? And we think that just because we have a desire, that desire aligns with our Father. But that's not always the case. This verse does not say, the Lord wants to give you the desires of your heart. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. And those are two totally different things. And you got to make sure you understand that in context. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The word delight, as it's used here, means to find joy in, to find pleasure in, or here's the word we're going to focus on, to find satisfaction in. To find satisfaction in the Lord, which is why I asked the question, are you satisfied? Maybe the more pointed question is this, are you satisfied with what satisfies the Lord? Are you satisfied with what satisfies the Lord? And I think if you're here and you're following the Lord, I think our immediate response would be like, of course we are satisfied with what satisfies the Lord. And I love using this example, and I love using it because it's an example from Durant, so I can say it and not feel bad about it, okay? So I remember years ago, before I was on staff, or it might have been early on staff, my wife and I would sit in the very back of the sanctuary up in the balcony, because believe it or not,
I actually don't like speaking in front of people. It kind of comes naturally, and you can see how over the years I've delighted myself in the Lord, and he's placed me here. Because if it was up to me, my desires, I would be in the balcony in the very back, okay? And I was in the balcony, I was in the very back, and I remember every single Sunday, this would never fail, my wife can attest, every single Sunday, we'd be sitting back there, and whoever was preaching on stage would have an altar call. Everybody, you know, the pastor would, every head bowed, every eye closed, and then they would have this time of ministry and an altar call. And in Durant, we had multiple services, and so one of the services was really close to lunch. Our last service started at 11, and so when it ended, it'd be a little after 12. And a little after 12, people are hungry, okay? Physically hungry. You know, we want that burger or that steak that we were talking about. And it never failed that whenever we would close our eyes and bow our head, there was like this mass exodus. People would stand up and start trying to sneak out of the sanctuary. You probably laugh because you know what I'm talking about. And they would start to sneak out. And it used to really bother me. It used to really bother me. I was like, man, like people are giving their lives to the Lord right now. Like people are making the biggest decision of their life right now. And these people are leaving. I couldn't get it. And so if you know me at all, I'm also probably too bold. And so I asked the question. I just caught some people as they were leaving. And I said, hey, I'm just curious. Where are you guys going? Like, what's the deal? And they said, we're hungry. It's lunchtime. And I was like, okay. So a little bit later, I caught another person. Where are you going? Well, we have a place to be. And I was like, is that place lunch? And they were like, yeah. Now listen, just so everyone's aware, let me just throw myself on the altar of sacrifice here. I have done that before, okay? I have done that before. I have left in the middle of an altar call. Now, I want to answer this question. Are you satisfied with what satisfies the Lord? I'm just telling you this. If you are more concerned with what you're going to eat for lunch than the person on the same row giving their life to the Lord, you are not satisfied with what satisfies the Lord. Amen? Because we sometimes let our fleshly desires get in the way of what truly satisfies the heart of God. And if we were really concerned with, Lord, we want only what satisfies your heart, that would change a lot of things in our lives, the decisions that we make, the places that we go, how we live our life. And now this is supposed to be a hard question, just so you know. You should feel a little bit, I'm not here to condemn anyone, okay? That's not what the word of the Lord is for. But if you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, listen, that's between you and the Lord, okay? Yeah. And here's the thing, this is convicting for myself because I have to go through my life, every point of it, and say, Lord, in this area, am I satisfied with the Lord? Am I truly satisfied with his heart and his desires and what he wants? Not mine, not my kingdom, but his kingdom. Lord, am I satisfied with that? There's a warning in the book of James, James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says this, what causes quarrels? What causes fights among you? He asks this question and he gives you the answer. He says, what causes fights? What causes quarrels among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Notice it didn't say that God's passions that are inside of you. He says that your passions are at war within you. You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. I want to make this very clear. He's addressing something here at the end. He says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly. And let me just tell you something. When you're asking the Lord for something and you do not receive it, it's probably not because you said, Lord, can I have X, Y, and Z, and you forgot to say the word please, you know? You know, we're taught as a kid, did you say please? Did you say thank you? It's probably not that. That's not what he means by asking wrongly. Should you say please to the Lord? I'm sure that's good practice, but as Pastor Zach taught last week, he's also our friend. He is our friend, and you can talk to him like a friend. And the thing is, it's not because wrongly isn't because you phrased the question wrong. He gives you the answer. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly. Well, what's wrongly? To spend it on your own passions, on your own desires. And there's a huge difference. Again, I remember the story of my mom. Mom, Do you not understand that this video game, this is the desire of my heart, Mom? And she said, your father is not going to want to get you those things. And I thought to myself, why not? It's the desires of my heart. But my desires, my fleshly, carnal, unrenewed mind, my desires did not line up with the desires of my father. So over the years, in counseling with people and talking with people, there has been this theme that comes up. And this is like from all ages, from youth students to parents to grandparents. And, you know, I don't want to get too specific just because people do watch online. But there are so many times where I've had conversations with people. And the conversations look something to the effect of, man, I know that people come to me and say, man, I know the Lord desires to give me a bigger home. And I say, okay, that's a beautiful thought. Why do you think the Lord desires that? Because do you know, like, well, one, that's desire of my heart. Well, okay, got it. That's desire of your heart. Why is that a desire of your heart? Do you know how many life groups I would lead at my house if I had a bigger house? And I'm like, that's beautiful. That is a beautiful thought. And I think that's great. How many life groups are you currently leading at your current house? And they'll say, well, that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about the desire of my heart. And I'm like, okay, or the similar conversation. I know the Lord desires for me to make more money. Okay, that's awesome. Why do you think the Lord desires that? Well, the Lord desires that because it's the desire of my heart. Well, that's beautiful. Why is that the desire of your heart? Do you know how much money I would give to the needy? I would give to the church if I made more money? That is just so you know, that truly is. That is the heart of the Father for you to be generous. That's a beautiful goal. That's awesome. How much are you currently giving with what you currently make? And they say, well, that's beside the point. Don't you know the desires of my heart? And by the way, I'm not saying the Lord doesn't desire for you to have a bigger house. I'm not saying the Lord doesn't desire for you to make more money. But I'm truly asking, why is that the desire of your heart? Because what David said in the Psalms is, Lord, examine my heart and you see if there's any grievous way in me. Because what's in our heart is only a selfish motive, I'm telling you this, we will come up empty and unsatisfied every time. Every time. But if you really want to be satisfied, really, in your deepest part of your body, you want to be satisfied, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Delight yourself in Him first, in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4. I don't know if I actually put this in my notes. I'm sorry if I did not. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. This is the Apostle Paul. And he says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That's often quoted as like, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. He's talking about contentment of the heart. He's talking about being content in your heart. He's not talking about like, man, I've had to hunger and fast today and I'm just struggling. Like, no, he's talking about your contentment in your heart. I've learned to live in need and I've also learned to live in abundance. And in all of those things, I have relied on Christ. I have delighted myself in Him. I want to read this beautiful invitation that's in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55, we're going Old Testament, verses 1-3. It says this, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. I don't know how that makes any sense. Come you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast sure love for David. He asks, he has this invitation, come to me if you're hungry, if you're in need. Those of you who have no money, come to me, buy and eat. I don't know how you reconcile that in your heart. If, oh, I have no money, but come buy. And he even references fine wine and milk. Fine wine and milk. And then he says, why do you spend all your money and your hard labor on things that do not satisfy? Again, just so you're clear, he is talking specifically about a heart issue here. And this heart issue is what we see in America so much, is what we see in our surrounding areas, is this heart issue of always wanting the next thing, always wanting something. And he says, but if you want to, you come to me and you can come with no money and still eat of me and still be fully satisfied. You see, the thing is when you come to eat of the Lord, when you come to him, it's actually free because Jesus paid the price. It's free for us because Jesus paid the price. Now, it's free in the sense of it doesn't cost any money. It costs you your life. It costs everything in your life. It actually costs you your earthly desires. It costs you those things, but it doesn't cost any money. True satisfaction is free for those who hunger and thirst after him. And that's the key. You actually have to be hungry for him, for his righteousness, for the kingdom, for his presence. That's what he told the woman at the well, right? If you knew who you were talking to, you would never thirst again. I'm gonna throw out a bunch of scriptures here, okay? We're just gonna kind of just shotgun all these scriptures at you all at once, and I'm gonna fight the temptation to not explain every one of them, but I fall into that temptation every time I do this. So, John chapter 15, verse 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Notice the word does not just say, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. And that's important. So for example, I am on this stage. I do not abide on this stage. If I was to ask you, hey, where do you abide? You would probably say, that's a weird question. And I would say, yes, it is. But if I said, where do you abide? You would say, oh, do you mean where do I live? And I would say, yes, because that's what it means. Where do you live? And he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, not just visit you, but if my words live in you, ask whatever you wish. That means delight yourself in him, find satisfaction. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. I hear this one quote a lot. Like, I know that when I pray, I have the petitions that I've asked because when I ask the Lord, he hears me. Notice it says this. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, you can't forget that last part. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Not if I just ask anything. If I just ask anything. I used to, being a youth pastor, I'm telling you, the students would ask me for the craziest things. I had a student one time that was like, I have this bully at school. Like, okay, I'm sorry to hear that. I hate that. It's like, yes, I pray for him to die. Don't do that. No, that's evil. Don't do that. Don't pray for him to die. Don't, no, that's terrible. He said, but when I pray, I know the Lord hears me. No, that's not the case. That is not the Lord's will. You can't just pray for the evil and, oh, the Lord hears me. That's not how it works. We have to renew our mind. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is one that has been quoted in Victory Life Church for a very long time. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and what is acceptable and perfect. It's us renewing our mind to, Lord, what is your kingdom? What is your will? Lord, how can I delight myself in your presence? That's what I want. Excuse me, last scripture I want to tell you guys, and we're laying in the plane. We're closing, okay? Here's the thing. Here's the thing with this is Luke chapter 12. I'm going to read a good chunk of these verses. As Christians, we really have to come before the Lord humble. And we have to ask the Lord, Lord, are we satisfied with what satisfies your heart, with what satisfies you? Maybe even a more simple question. Lord, am I satisfied with you? Am I satisfied with you? Not the stuff that you promised. Am I simply satisfied with who you are in our lives? And I want to just encourage you for a second. If the honest response to that, the honest answer in your heart is, well, I think 90%, 90%, 75%, whatever that is, in this area, Lord, I am satisfied with you. That 10%, that 15%, or whatever that percent is where you're not, the Lord's not like angry. The Lord's not like looking at you like, I can't believe you're not there. He's encouraging you to come before him humble and just offer to him, Lord, I want to be satisfied with what satisfies you. And I get it, especially, you know, right now, there is so much going on in our world. There's things that you could probably make a case that, I'm a little worried for this. I'm a little stressed out about this. There's so many things changing in my world. There's all sorts of stuff going on. You know, if you got a family, you got to provide. you got to pay bills. You got to do all this stuff. There's so many things that get in the way. Camp is starting. You got to make travels and trips. You got work. There's so much things that this world can throw at us that can cause us to be anxious and to be worried. I want to read this scripture as an encouragement. Luke chapter 12. Verses 22, again, I don't know if I sent this to you guys. If I didn't, I am so sorry. Luke 12, verses 22 through 34. So it's 12 verses, so hang with me. And Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he said to his disciples, therefore, let me also just say this. He's speaking to his followers, his closest followers, okay? So he's speaking to us. I need you to understand this. He's speaking to the believers. And he said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 28, but if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? O you of little faith, and do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, we're gonna pause there for a moment, instead of seeking after everything he just mentioned, the clothes, the food, the things that cause worry, all of those things, instead of seeking after that, he knows that you need those, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added unto you. Verse 32, my favorite one. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. I love that. I like being called a little flock. Fear not, little flock, because it truly is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When I hear this, I think of this story that I was telling you earlier of my dad. And when I asked for something that aligned with his will, he went above and beyond just getting me the drill that I asked for, right? He went above and beyond that. It was his good pleasure to give me a part of his kingdom, okay? Now, this is a picture. This is not like a one-for-one makes every lick of sense, okay? This is me and my dad. My dad, he was an electrician. He's retired now. And so my dad knows everything about electrical things, and I don't. But when I asked for a drill, it was his good pleasure to be like, you need a drill? I can supply that need. And he got it. And I remember just sitting there and listening to him talk about the drills and all these things. And he was legitimately so delighted in giving me something that was a part of his kingdom. And in the same way, I promise you this, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you not your kingdom, but to give you the kingdom, the kingdom. He actually goes on, by the way, in verse 33, he challenges us. I love it. He says, verse 33, sell your possessions and give it to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with the treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. He is so eager to pour out true satisfaction. The Lord is so eager to pour out true satisfaction on his followers. The people who say, Lord, I want to delight in you. The people who say, Lord, I hunger and I thirst for righteousness. And the promise is so true, and you will be satisfied. When I'm here just at Stillwater, there was at the beginning, anytime I go to a location, one of the things I like to do is just kind of take the morning and observe. Take the morning and observe, listen to the Holy Spirit. Lord, what are you saying? Do I need to change the sermon on the fly? Well, Lord, please no. Well, is there anything, what's going on? And it was so beautiful. One of the things that, this is an encouragement, by the way, just sitting on the front row in the middle of worship, I just kind of turned around and I just wanted to see who was here and to see just the people of God. Lord, you're worthy. I'm caught up in your presence. I just, as one of the pastors of the house, I just want to say good job. Good job in being satisfied with the Lord. The Lord is pleased with you guys. He's pleased with Stillwater. And, you know, driving through here, it's a college town. Every place we went, well, we only went two places last night and then this morning, everyone, like all the waiters and waitresses, they were all college students. And I see this picture in the spirit of walking in these double doors, which, by the way, those doors are huge. Walking in the biggest doors I've ever seen. Walking in the doors and seeing this place just alive with college students, with families here visiting them, just them worshiping the Lord. Can you imagine a church that's fully satisfied with what satisfies the heart of the Father? I'm just telling you, as a young person, I'm telling you, the generation that's under me, I'm 30, or I'm about to be 30, somewhere around that age. I lose track, okay? The generation that's under me, I'm telling you, they are tired of the fake church. They are so tired of that. Amen. The generation that's coming up, they want real. They just want people to be real. They want to hear the word. They want to hear the prayer. They want to be in the presence of God. And I'm telling you something. Can you imagine a church that truly their goal is, I'm fully satisfied with what satisfies the heart of the Father? So easily, guys. I'm telling you, people, the lost people, when they come in here and they just simply see your heart, they'll say, I don't know what those people have. I don't know what it is. They are just satisfied. They're not complaining about their life. They're not worried about their life. They just seem to be content with the Lord. They're going to say, I want that. I want my heart to be so content for the kingdom. I want it. And what an amazing opportunity for you guys to just be able to be there and lead them to the Lord. So truly, when I say good job, I mean it. When I was here, I've never been here, felt so welcome, felt like family. That's the way church is supposed to feel. That's the way church is supposed to feel. And whenever I say being satisfied with the Lord, sometimes that satisfaction, and I just hear this in my spirit, looks like rest. Sometimes the satisfaction in the heart of the Lord looks like simply resting in his presence. Not this continual, I've got to strive to do this and this and this and this and this to get something from the Lord. It's simply, Lord, I truly am satisfied with you. And because I'm satisfied with you, I'm going to rest in your presence. So I want to encourage you guys as a church, rest in his presence. Take an honest examination of our hearts and say, Lord, where in my heart am I not satisfied with you? And wherever that is, Lord, direct my heart back to the kingdom. Amen? Amen. 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 I'm gonna pray for you guys, and then Wally's going to come up and do something, okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. What an amazing, beautiful body of believers. Thank you, Lord, that I get to be a part of it. Thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter that my wife and I live hours away, that wherever we go in these Victory Life Church, we're part of the body of Christ, and it feels like home. What a beautiful thing. I pray, Father, that our hearts going forward and for the rest of our lives would be that we would satisfy your heart. Lord, that we wouldn't just say, well, Lord, that's the desires of my heart. I want this video game, or I want X, Y, and Z. But truly, Lord, the desire of our heart would be, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done, Father. Not my kingdom, but Lord, I pray that your kingdom come and your will be done in our life as it is in heaven. That our heart's desire would truly be, Father, wherever I am being led astray, lead me back. Lord, I want to hear that voice saying, do not worry, little flock. Do not worry about what you're going to do, what you're going to wear, where you're going to go. But just hear your voice say, I've got you, son. I've got you, daughter. So, Father, thank you. I pray a blessing over this church. Lord, I speak a blessing over these kids going to kids camp. Lord, I thank you that this is going to be just a week of transformation for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.